Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
That they should believe the lie. How many of you have read that and said, God, well, that's not fair. You're sending the lie? Why would he do that? Isn't God kumbaya love all the time? Back to 1 Kings. Let me show you the Old Testament picture of that New Testament 2 Thessalonians idea. Now verse 8. So the king of Israel, wicked King Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, you know, there's still one man. There's one guy. Yeah, my 400 prophets, you're not buying that, huh? Jehoshaphat's all, no. Well, there is one guy, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may acquire of the Lord. But I hate this guy because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Paraphrased, I hate God's word because it convicts me. Ahab is more concerned with feeling good rather than knowing the truth. Does that sound familiar to anyone in this room? Could be said of the typical churches in many respects. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Man, Jehoshaphat, he knows, you can't say that. I wrote in my margin here, Jehoshaphat, get out of there. You're seeing that this Ahab guy, he's not on his right foundation. Why did he stay? My hunch is he wanted to see the unification of North and South Israel. Can't the whole church just get along? Even in our own community, let's just get all the churches together. And at first glance, that seems like a wonderful idea. And I'm not necessarily disparaging it. I'm just saying, if you get a whole bunch of people with a name badge that says Christians, then they should all be Christians. Is it possible that you have some in the group that when you get all the churches together for the sake of unity, and especially if we go to another building location, and it's not our house like it is here, we're going to another church, perhaps it has a larger seating capacity. And then we begin to see the things in the name of worship that God's word says, that's not me. But because we're visiting another church, we're probably not going to say anything. And that would be good, appropriate Emily Post manners. What do you think about that Harvest Family Fellowship? I want you to keep your thinking cap on. No matter where you are. Remember the problem with the 400 prophets? Why didn't Jehoshaphat buy it? Because they're in the place and all these terrible abominations were going on around them and they didn't say a word. Why does Jehoshaphat hang with Ahab? Can't say for sure. My hunch, unity. Let's get God's house together. But come on, Steve, aren't you supposed to be a part? Come on, it's the whole church getting together. Is it necessarily a good thing? Verse 9. So then the king of Israel called an officer and said, all right, go bring that Micaiah guy, the son of Imlah, quickly. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, their royal robes, what are they really saying? We are stepping in now to the office of state. This isn't a bathrobe. This is a robe that says, all right, everybody, perk up and listen. You're now talking to the king, both north and south. Set each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. Threshing floor is a little misleading. A threshing area was typically on a high point because you wanted to take advantage of the prevailing wind. You had your cattle or whatever stomp on the grain to dislodge the kernels from the chaff. And then you would take your pitchfork and you would toss it up in the air, and the prevailing winds would blow away the chaff and the heavier grain would fall at your feet. It's called a threshing floor. It's a little misleading. They're on a visibly prominent place, and it's near a gate. And this time, they didn't have city hall. They had their gate. So this was the most popular, most visible place where the whole community gets together. And not only that, they got the prophets prophesying before them. They got a great spot to be seen. The social center. Get the whole people. Look, we're all getting together in the name of unity of the house of God. And the 400 prophets are there. Verse 11. Now Zedekiah, the son of Canaanah, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, thus says the Lord. What is Zedekiah's position? He is a prophet, or he's claiming to be one. Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, so go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king. Picture this. This was a building momentum of people, resources, and 400 prophets are there. And they were leading an enthusiastic gathering. We have a cause. We have a destiny. We have a God-given responsibility and ministry. God says, go forward and conquer. Have any of us been hearing anything like that from the pulpits of America? Steve, you saying they're all out to lunch? No. I'm saying just because they're saying it, we have to test it through the Word. And when the prophet was at that church and saying to the pastor, I see Bob Jones, dead guy, talking to your father. He said, ABC, and the pastor goes, that's right. And the whole audience, supernatural insight. Talking to his father, dead guy. What does God say about talking to dead guys? Don't do it. It's an abomination. And that is the pastor of one of the most influential churches in America through worship ministry. Sounds like a lot of churches today. Sounds good and godly, inflames my passion, but is it really a God thing? And then I couldn't help but think, the title of that website of their School of Supernatural Ministry, we owe the world an encounter with God. Verse 13, when the messenger had gone to call Micah, spoke to him saying, all right now, Micaiah, listen, the words of the prophets with one accord are saying it's a go, okay? Please let your word be like one of them and speak encouragement. I don't want any trouble from you. So tell the king what he wants to hear. Implied or else. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. You better tell the king what he wants to hear. They will heap up for themselves teachers or 400 prophets, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Verse 14, Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, I will speak. Then he came to the king, Ahab, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? probably looking at him like, you know what I want to hear. And he, the prophet, said, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? What is Ahab saying here? You tell me what God told you. Why would the word of God, modeled by this man, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver you into the hands of the king? And every commentary I've read said he was being sarcastic. Now that would make a lot of sense. Go ahead. The Lord's going to deliver you. Is that how Ahab discerned that he was pulling his leg? Now remember, he is standing in the office of a prophet. He is exemplifying and modeling the word of God. I don't think he was being sarcastic. Personal opinion. He is modeling 2 Timothy 4 verse 3. Lying spirits, doctrines of demons. I don't think he's being sarcastic. Didn't he just say, verse 14, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, I will speak. It would seem that the Lord led him to say this. Why? Because he is modeling 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. I don't think he was being sarcastic, because I don't know that that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, sarcasm. With your Jesus glasses on, this is an Old Testament picture of a New Testament principle, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For your consideration. Now verse 17. Then he said, okay, here comes. I saw all of Israel scattered on the mountaintops as sheep that have no shepherd. Speaking of Ahab. And the Lord said, these have no master. Reference to Ahab. Let each return to his own house. But first they're scattered on the mountaintops because of the lack of shepherd. Why are they returning home? Because the lack of the awful shepherd is gone. A.K.A. Ahab is dead. Verse 18. And the king of Israel said, Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by, and on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? Why does God want him to fall? It's been 3 years that Ahab has had the chance to repent. 3 years ago, the prophet said, you're going to be judged, Ahab, and dogs are going to lick your blood. Did Ahab repent after 3 years? God's will is that he is judged, because the responsibility of love, everybody, is judgment. I want Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead so that he will die. So one, an angel, spoke in this manner, and another angel spoke in that manner. Then a spirit, right in your margin, a demon. Whoa, Steve. Heaven is holy, and demons can't hang around anything that's holy. Please know your Bible. In Job 1 and 2, who marches up to the Lord on his throne? Lucifer does. And I've heard it. Some of these outpourings, Kansas City, Toronto, and some of these other ones, Florida, some of the blessings in outpouring, and bizarre stuff happens. People become uncontrollable this and uncontrollable that. And when somebody says, I don't think that's a God thing, I don't see it anywhere in the book of Acts, not in the Gospels, it's not taught anywhere else. I don't think that's right. Don't tell me, tell the Holy Spirit. And their reasoning is, it can't be demonic, because mostly it's the flesh. But sometimes, what if it is supernatural? Can't be demonic, because we're all holy in here. By the way, where is Lucifer? The Bible tells us he is before God's throne accusing you day and night. It's one of the reasons why you have a new heaven and a new earth in the book of Revelation. God is going to take out all of the footprints of evil, even in heaven. A demon comes before the holy God. He came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, how are you going to do that? In what way? As if God doesn't know. So he, the demon, said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of most of those prophets. What does it say? Do you see this, everybody? What was coming out of the mouth of the prophets? Go ahead. You have a mission. You have a destiny. You have a this, you have a that. Go and do it. Said the prophets of God's house. And here, as the curtain is pulled away from backstage, we see that what's coming out of those 400 godly prophets was all from a single demon. Let me ask you, is it a possibility that even in the house of God in the New Testament, someone who claims to be or even is moving in supernatural whatever, is it a possibility that it could be inspired from a demonic shenanigans, a lying spirit, or a doctrine of a demon? Here it is in 1 Kings 22 in model form. I need to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are living in the very last days. And doesn't the Bible say that in these very last days, what is going to be happening? They're going to not want to endure sound doctrine. Steve, I've heard it say, you can't continue in this. People will leave. Here's what you need to do. Please understand that we don't do what we do here at Harvest because we want more tithing units to fill out the pews. We don't do this, as it were, for anyone but him. We keep trying to reiterate the message, church isn't for us. Church is not for us. Church is for him. Church is not a place where nice people get nicer, and it's not a place where we can all come in and unpack our suitcase and continue to live immorally here or through our fingers and gossip and tear down. And because Jehoshaphat prefers relationship with Ahab, even though the word of God right here is saying, you're done, Ahab. Jehoshaphat won't uncouple. And because he won't, he is going to be destroyed along with Ahab. This is a powerful, powerful Old Testament picture, in my opinion. That is so where this church age of Laodicea is. What do you got for me if I come to your church? What do you mean? Well, how's the sound system? Okay, not bad. How's the seating? Not bad, not bad. Where's my programs? Well, what programs are you talking about? I want women's ministry, I want men's ministry, I want this ministry, I want that, I want that, I want this, I want this, I want this. Because it's the mistaken notion that we come here because we're going to get something. We come here because what should be pouring out of our hearts and minds is, I'm not dead anymore. I have been saved by a gracious God who looked into my wicked life. He reached down to my level and pulled me up. And when I really realized that I was this close to eternal separation from him. Oh my! Oh my! Oh my! That's why we come and we worship him, everybody. And I know that this message is unpopular. And I'm not trying to point a finger and say, neener, neener, neener. Because who am I to judge another man's servant? Not my job. What am I to do? What are we supposed to do at Harvest? We are supposed to pray the Proverbs, I know that, for the next several weeks. And I know we're supposed to teach God's word in season and out of season. What does that mean? When it's popular and when it's not popular. And I want to tell you something, loved ones. It is not popular to say to a precious Christian sister, That is not a prophet. God's word says he's talking to dead people. Don't do it. What do you think that sister's going to say? Get off of my joy. I want to feel the anointing. I want to feel. I'm not interested in what is true. This is Ahab. This is the church of Laodicea. And of all the times and places where you could have lived your life, God saw fit that you are alive today in northern Nevada for such a time as this. It is my personal opinion, you guys, it's not going to get better out there. It's going to get darker. And when it does, not if, and when it does, we should be able to give an account of the joy that is in us. We need to be biblical. That's all we have time for. Let's all stand. Dearly beloved. We are gathered here. No, dearly beloved. It is no accident that you are here tonight or that you're watching us on our website. And Lord Jesus, I pray, I don't have a special insight. I don't have a special antenna that God is saying to me necessarily one thing or the other. It's a culmination of understanding Bible prophecy. It's being a bit of a student of sociology and history and all these things coming together with these amazing signs. The four lunar total eclipses on Passover Tabernacles, and then the very next year, Passover Tabernacles again. It was the triple conjunction of Venus, Jupiter, and Regulus that has not happened for 2,000 years. And the last time it did was that triple conjunction around Regulus, which is in the constellation of Leo. Was that the Christmas star? So many signs, Lord. And here is your word. And you told us. You told us it was coming. In the last days, people don't want to hear doctrine. Please just tell me the things that I want to know about. Too many churches are too eager to serve up that steady diet. Oh, I pray in Jesus' precious name, Lord, may we at Harvest be hearing your heart and drawing closer to your word every day. That when whatever comes out of the mouth of whatever prophet, we'll be able to say either is biblical or it is not. And with love, we pray, we fast for the light to come on. And Lord, I want to take this opportunity. I want to pray for that church that I mentioned earlier. And I pray yet again, may there be, Lord God, a move of your spirit, not in the emotionalism, but may there be people of the word who will say to this pastor and to these leaders of this church and this ministry, may they speak your word in your heart. We pray for our brothers and sisters. And we pray, Lord God, that there would come a shaking to all of our churches, this one included, that all of us would be shaken off of the fence and realize the times in which we live and realize that we have a responsibility like watchmen on the wall to share gospel truth in a time drowning in doctrines of demons and lying spirits. The Word, the Word, the Word. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.